Dellavedova finds Irving for three. Oh, he puts it in. Kyrie Irving nails it.
Kyrie Irving, what a shot and a perfectly executed play.
Give Tyronn Lue a lot of credit. This is a design play.
All tied at 78. It'll count if it goes. Chance, no timeouts. Gotta hustle it up. Reggie Jackson looking for help. 2-1. Jackson, the three short. Game over. Cavaliers win. They sweep the Detroit Pistons.
Finding Irving. Three is down. Just got screened by LeBron, who puts up a three. He hit his first three-point attempt in game one. He hits his first three-point attempt here in game two. Love three. Kevin Love has knocked down a couple triples. Smith, three. Oh! Every chamber is filled. Smith, three over Corver.
Are you kidding me?
Switch on defense. Smith with a three.
I mean, what do you do? Seriously, what do you do on that?
Smith, the fake. Corver flies by another three. No! No! Could this be the record? Yeah. Dante Towns! Did I call it? There is the record.
Did I call that or what?
8 inches to James, who wins the tap. It goes to the corner. Horford tries to get to it. The three is on the way. Millsap is off. And it's over. And the Cavaliers have swept the Hawks.
Shumpert throws it down. Boy, a lot of easy buckets for Cleveland here in the first quarter. Irving blows past Lowry, gets to the basket, banks in the reverse.
Dellavedova
lobs it up, and James throws it down. Irving oohs and ahs from the crowd.
And Irving with a finish.
Wow. Irving to Love. Love, hot step, hits a three. James gets it down low, kicks it out. Love steps back. Kevin Love, 4 for 4 from the field, and the lead is 11. The Cleveland Cavaliers win the Eastern Conference Final in 6 games, and now advance to the NBA Finals. James keeps his dribble somehow. Irving back to James. Oh, he throws it down. Kyrie Irving's jump shot is good. James drives and easily finishes, and James off to a good start. James jumper. Again, LeBron James has the perimeter game going. Steps back. Kyrie Irving. Beautiful jumper from Irving. What a first half he's had. Irving for three. Irving fakes. Drives. James on the throwdown. James to Thompson. Oh, what a pass from LeBron James. 31-9. Irving the crossover. Irving the pull-up. Tries again. Connect. Pass inside. Stolen by Irving. Throws it ahead to Smith. Smith. Alley-oop to James. Wow.
Crowd going crazy.
5 to shoot. Azealia again goes back up on him. James steps back for three. Puts it in. LeBron James from downtown. Irving drives on Green. Gets inside. Off balance. Comes up short. He gets his own rebound and puts it back. Irving drives. Hop step inside. Close it up. Misses. Rebound taken by Iguodala. Iguodala to Curry. Back to Iguodala. Up for the layup.
Minute remaining,
and they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one.
Irving puts it up. It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown.
Trying to stay with Curry. Catches. One dribble. Steps back. Puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spades. Final seconds. It's over. It's over.
Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Welcome indeed to the extravaganza. What is going on? It's a championship celebration in Ohio today. It might not be here in Toledo, Ohio, but it is there in Cleveland, Ohio. That makes a whole lot of people who are fans of that team that just won the world championship from Northeast Ohio very, very happy today. The parade is ongoing. The parade is ongoing in Cleveland. Apparently, it started out very late, and apparently it is going to continue, I guess, a little bit late as well. And we are actually going to go into the middle of that madhouse. Jim, I don't know how many people they get every year for the St. Patrick's Day parade that they have out there, but I know that it's in the hundreds of thousands. But what they projected for this particular day, this celebration, the first time they have held a victory parade that actually won a championship, you know, I mean, celebrating a championship, was never, basically. They didn't do one in 1964. We talked about this.
Right,
they did
right.
not have a championship parade then. They did have a parade they should not have had in 1997.
'95? Yes, I'll never forget it because I crushed a bush on Superior Avenue that day.
I had people telling me today it was in 1997. After the World Series loss to the Marlins.
They might have had one then, but I was at the one in 95.
Okay, well, here's my thing then, and I'm not making this up to make my point. I honestly don't remember any such parades because they shouldn't have had them. They shouldn't have existed. I am quite certain that I just did not pay attention to it because I thought it was ridiculous and stupid. You don't celebrate coming in second. You don't celebrate, you know, it's like saying I'm reading a book and I'm gonna stop one chapter short from finishing it. Look at me. Look what I just did. You didn't even finish. If you don't finish, you don't get a parade.
Right.
If you don't win the championship, you don't get the, hey, nice job coming close. You don't get, there's no medal stand in team sports the way there is in the Olympics for finishing with the silver.
Or the bronze.
Or the bronze for that matter. You don't get a parade for finishing. And that's the other thing, too. You know, sometimes athletes like Carl Lewis, he was just completely celebrated when he came home with five gold medals or whatever it was from the 1984 Olympics to his hometown of Houston, I think. You know, they hold a parade for you if you're an Olympic champion. I think Michael Phelps got one for winning a bunch of gold medals. I don't know if any town throws a party and a parade for somebody who won the silver. So if they did throw those victory parades in 95 and or 97, I am glad I have no recollection of them because those shouldn't exist. That is an embarrassment. But today's parade in downtown Cleveland got off to a late start according to virtually all media reports. It is certainly grinding along at a snail's pace, and that means it's going to be a very late finish, obviously, too. And you know what? Good. Let it linger. Let it soak in because this is exactly what it was supposed to be about, winning a championship. You don't just throw a party and throw a parade because you came close. You either win it or you don't win it, and if you don't win it, you don't get to be celebrated with a parade. You get to be, hey, nice try, finish the thing next year. Good job getting close. Let's get back and finish it next year. Kush, did they throw a party for the Browns when they lost the AFC Championship game against the Broncos because of the drive?
No, about the only thing I can remember was after the fumble one, there were people at the airport, but that was about it.
Did they throw but they didn't throw a parade.
No,
there wasn't
they did
a
not.
Citywide ticker tape parade,
nope.
Was there?
Nope.
So that's just embarrassing, and that's how desperate, I guess. And as we talk about, you know, the championship celebration out there today, understand, there is a reason why there are nearly 1 million people downtown.
1.3, the last report I heard.
It's over a million. Okay, good. I didn't get that estimate. Okay, so over a million people downtown. And it's because they have been waiting so long, 52 years, have been so desperate for a championship that they were willing to sell out to juice boxes and orange slices like participation ribbons in giving a parade for finishing second. Back in 90, that's how desperate they were. We don't get to have parades ever. Let's just have one. They finished second. What the hell? Let's just have one. We don't get to have parades ever. Well, you know what? They played really, really hard and almost won. And it wasn't just for Jose Mesa blowing the save in the ninth inning. And then who was it at second base? Tony Fernandez, who let one get by. You know what? Guess what? That's close enough. Well, let's have a parade. That's how desperate they were. And now that this one is legit, now that it was earned, now that it is a world championship, there is a reason why there are grown men and women with tears streaming down their faces as the parade goes by and the players are all celebrating and cheering and enjoying the adulation of their hardcore fans. There is a reason why people are so overly emotional here. They tried so hard to have a championship team in the past. They celebrated almost. Now they don't have to celebrate almost. Now they celebrate did it, completed, finished, championship time. And that, to me, is a very, very special thing. From what I understand, It is an absolute mess down there with 1.3 million people. Parking at Cleveland Hopkins Airport out there is not allowed. It is completely full. Parking at every RTA station there, which is, of course, the Rapid or the shuttles that take you downtown, those were all full at like 7 o'clock this morning for a parade that was supposed to begin at 11. I had people who told me they arrived at the RTA station looking for an opportunity, couldn't find a place to park, then were told that the line literally, you know, some people say, boy, the line looks like a mile long. It literally was a mile long, a physical, literal 5,280 people long just at one particular RTA station to get on a bus or a train to get downtown into Cleveland, Ohio for the parade. That's just at one place. People were literally lined up for a literal mile. I'm sorry for the redundancy of literal, but I mean, it's just pretty amazing to me. So that's what's going on down there. Streets are closed. Exit ramps are closed. Entrance ramps are closed. Buildings are closed. A citywide holiday has been declared. Nobody's going to work. And guess what? They're not anywhere near able to handle the overflow crowd. To keep them out of the actual parade route, Cleveland police are working their tails off there.
That's been part of the reason for the delay.
That's exactly right. They were blocking the parade route. They didn't have enough officers to keep people under control. And when I say under control, it's not like they're, you know, doing
anything bad. Yes, don't misunderstand, yes.
Yeah, they just, you know, not that they were attacking or committing violence or setting
things on fire. In fact, kudos to all those in Cleveland. There haven't been any reports of fires and buildings and cars overturned and all that nonsense.
No, nothing at all. The closest thing on Sunday night, game night, championship night, Jim, that they had was a police car was destroyed, but not like somebody came and smashing windows and headlights
and
out of celebration. People were literally dancing, and they got up to see better, and they were up on the car and dancing on the roof of the hood of the car.
And even though it can only hold but so much weight.
Well, especially because I was talking to one of the officers in charge down there, and he told me that car was 19 years old, and they did him a favor. So they can actually get a new, because they won't replace them. You know, they won't replace these cars with newer cars. It's too expensive.
Unless they have an excuse, and boy, do they have one on that one.
But that's right. But that was the only, you know, damage reported. No, you know, like, I mean, let's be honest, up in Detroit. When was the last Detroit championship?
That would have been the Red Wings, not too terribly long ago.
I don't think the hockey fans did anything, but it was after the Pistons' last championship. I believe is when it was. There were some fires. Was that 04?
That was 04.
There were some fires set. I know in Los Angeles. I know in Boston. There were some serious, you know, instances of vandalism and burning things and smashing windows and celebrating by tearing your city apart. It's one of the dumbest things that you can ever imagine. Let's celebrate our civic pride and our team by destroying their city. Makes no sense. And it's happened. To their credit, if any city could have been given a pass for going over the top, it probably would have been that city because of waiting 52 years and all of the heartbreak and the misery and the drives and the fumbles and the shots and the ninth innings with Mesa and the 3-1 series lead in 07 and all the way down the line. All of those things, Red Wright 88, all of those things, you know, kind of contributed to what became that 30 for 30 series, Believeland, which I thought was very, very poorly done. So when you finally cash this one in the way they just did, if anybody could be excused for going over the top, it would be that fan base. But they're not. They're staying under control, with the exception, again, of blocking the parade route, which, you know, the police had to try to get everybody back peacefully without any, you know, physical, you know, barriers being put up and that sort of thing. Other than that, it has just been, a 1.3 million person strong party in downtown Cleveland. Now, as I understand it, our very own Chris Lemieux, who works for us right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, who, of course, is also a tremendous writer for PrideOfDetroit.com. He is a Detroit fan. He is all in for the DET. But right now he is celebrating with the all-in 216 in CLE out at the parade in Cleveland, Ohio. Chris Lemieux, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
Bewildered right now.
I
mean, 1 billion.
All right, we're gonna cut it. We're gonna cut the transmission there because we were hopeful that he would be in a place where his cell phone would work. We know that there are 1.3 million cell phones out, either recording or transmitting or something, in that crowd trying to trying to experience the parade and to save the parade and everything else. It's just very hard. We knew it was going to be hard to hear from Chris while it was actually going on. Our hope was that the parade would actually start when it was supposed to, which was at 11 o'clock, and that it would be over by showtime here at 3, and that we'd be able to talk to Chris about what he experienced there. But unfortunately, as you just heard, the phone is cutting out. He is in a very, very tough spot there trying to get any reception and try to get any elbow room and any voice room without being, you know, swarmed and swamped.
Because we, you know, that's the other thing about it too, Bob. You know, in these days, everybody has their phones. I mean, I'm seeing these crowd pictures and everyone's trying to take pictures on their phones. So messes with the reception. Hopefully at some point we can get a better connection with him.
Yeah, video. I mean, you know, pictures and video, obviously people are trying to actually, you know, like I said, savor it and be able to replay it. They'll probably put it on their hard drive in the computer and relive it for posterity, which I would too if I was down there. I can't blame them. But obviously it's going to make it real hard for Chris to join us. But we'll hope to check in with him. So stay in touch with him, obviously, Kush, by text or whatever you have to, and see if we can establish what it's like down there. So that's the parade that is going on in the city of Cleveland. Say that again, Jim. We got what?
I think I can actually hear Chris. Let's try this again.
All right. Chris Lemieux, downtown Cleveland at the parade. Let's try this one again and see if we have a better reception.
You got me?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Awesome. Yeah.
Working. That's not working. It's just cutting out about every third or fourth word, so we're not going to be able to make that happen either. So don't worry about it. We'll do our best here to reestablish that with Chris Lemieux, who is down, which is interesting. When Jim Cushlin told me this morning when we talked about our show, as we always do every morning prepping for today, he said Chris is going to be down there in Cleveland. I said, wait a minute, what? A guy who writes for prideofdetroit.com, a guy who's all in the DET, is out there in the CLE. Why? And he said, just for fun. If he didn't have to work today, and if he wasn't working for us, he was going to go down there just for fun to kind of cover it and experience it. And you know what? That's all kind of awesome. Extra props to Chris Lemieux for the effort there, going down and celebrating in a city that obviously, you know, has the team that he competes with as a DET fan, Pride of Detroit, in virtually every sport. So, but we do want to catch up with him. We'll try to check in with him as soon as we can. Now, that's parade news. News that came from the parade is perhaps even a little bit more important. Yesterday, like everybody in the national media, speculation was on, hey, player movement time. Where's Kevin Durant going to go? He's reportedly going to be in California hosting teams that want to talk to him, including Golden State, now realizing they were not good enough to beat the Cavaliers, even with their 73 wins. They've got to improve. Do they go out and get one of the great scorers of his generation, Kevin Durant? Will Kevin Durant consider going to play in La La Land to play for the Lakers, who have a lot of young talent, obviously, and are building and growing, and they could certainly build around him? Nobody knows. But one thing we do know is part of those rumors that were being discussed yesterday was, of course, LeBron James. He opted out. He has an opt-out, of course, of his contract so that he can then re-sign a longer contract at a max deal of roughly $30 million per year. But there was speculation. Now that he kept his promise, now that he won one for his hometown, for the land, as he said, what if he wants to get together and play with some of his buddies and make a run at another title in another place? Well, today he told ESPN's Dave McMenamin, quote, I love it here in Cleveland. I have no intentions of leaving. There are some technicalities to take care of. I'll leave that up to my agent. That's right from the horse's mouth. So if you were looking for something to give you more confidence that he was going to stay put and not go and chase rings in other places or put his dream team of Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony and himself together, if you were looking something for something to that effect, you just got it today, as he said, straight from the horse's mouth. And that is a great, 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 great idea by LeBron. No more speculation, no more TV specials about decisions. Just telling Dave McMenamin very clearly, I have no intention of leaving Cleveland. That's right from the horse's mouth. Now, I will say this, just because I am a wordsmith, all right? I'm a linguist. I'm an English major. That was my degree. These kinds of things jump out at me, the way things are worded. Not that it didn't jump out at you. Don't misunderstand. But when he says, I have no intentions of leaving, that isn't the exact same meaning as I'm not leaving. It means I have no intention of it. However, because he didn't say, I'm re-signing to a max deal long term, he could say, well, at the time I said it, I didn't have any intentions of leaving. Circumstances changed over the course of the last month. An opportunity presented itself, and now I do have an intention. So there is just a way things are worded sometimes that make you say, why did he phrase it that way? Quote, I love it here in Cleveland. I have no intentions of leaving. That is different than, I am staying here in Cleveland. I am definitely not leaving. There is a little bit of room for ambiguity there if something crazy or something stupid happens. And I think it's important just to point that out. But having pointed that out, I think it's pretty clear. What he has in Cleveland is too good to walk away from to look for a better option. There is no better sidekick he will find in the NBA, in my view, than Kyrie Irving. I don't think that there is any player, and that means, let's just say for the sake of argument, for the sake of sports talk, because that's all we do, let's just say for the conversation that Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma City, leaving a huge void in Oklahoma City.
Right.
With Russell Westbrook. I don't think LeBron James would be better served playing with the great fourth place finisher in the MVP voting this year, Russell Westbrook, than he is with Kyrie Irving, who didn't even get on the All-Star team this time around, in part because of injuries for most of the first quarter of the season. I don't think there's anybody else he could play with that would give him a better chance to get back to the finals than the guy he's playing with now. And that includes going back to Miami to play with Dwayne Wade. I don't think he would be better served playing in New York with Carmelo Anthony. I don't think he would be better served. Who else would even be a thought in the Eastern Conference? I don't think there's anybody that would be a thought. Not Toronto, he wouldn't do that. Not Atlanta, he wouldn't do that. The only thing that you can think of is going west to put his dream team together with CP3, one of his best buds in L.A. with the Clippers. And even he, I don't think, would put LeBron James in a better position to win more titles, because then he would still have to go through the rest of the West in the playoffs.
Right.
In a much harder, you know, three-round playoff run before you get to the finals, if you get there, than you do in the East when you've got the, you know, Atlantas and Detroits, no offense to the Pistons, but where they are right now, you know, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Pacers, and the teams that are playoff teams in the East. So, you know, while he left himself a little wiggle room by saying, I love it in Cleveland and I have no intentions of leaving, very different than I am staying in Cleveland and I will not be leaving, while he left himself wiggle room there, his statement is strong enough, especially when he punctuates it with the words, that's right from the horse's mouth.
Right.
You heard it from me, he's saying, I'm not going anywhere, or I have no intentions of going anywhere, and I think that's huge. Go ahead, Jim.
I think it's huge, too, and incidentally, it's not just huge for Cleveland and the Cavs to know that his intentions as of right now are to stay in Cleveland, and it, who knows what kind of contract it'll be. That's what he means by technicalities. But I bet the entire NBA is a little bit relieved, because if you think back to the decision in 2010 and then what I always refer to as the re-decision two summers ago in 2014, those dragged on for so long, and as a result, pretty much everybody had to put all their off-season ideas on hold until that settled itself. Now, if you're other NBA teams, you don't have to do that. And as such, I can't help but notice that I've been reading in the last hour or so, a couple of various trades are being made, one of them involving Derrick Rose.
And what is the word you're hearing about Derrick Rose?
To the Knicks is what I'm hearing. Jeff T getting sent to the Pacers, who was on the Hawks on one of the, and so. But the point is, it allows these other teams to start doing these moves now because they don't have to wait for LeBron and how everything else would shake out after that, which happened in those last couple of times.
Great point. Very, very, very good point. And there is a lot of really cool stuff to talk about. Derrick Rose being on the move is huge. Jimmy Butler being on the move potentially is huge, too. There's a lot of talk that the Boston Celtics want to trade the third pick overall. In fact, they're desperate to do so in tomorrow night's NBA draft.
Right.
And they're looking for a stud in return. And obviously, you know, a guy like Jimmy Butler would fit that bill. That's something I cannot ever even imagine the Bulls doing. There is also talk, by the way, since we're doing this, there is also talk that the Celtics, who have long coveted Kevin Love, might be willing to talk to the Cavs about giving them the number three pick in exchange for the max contract-wielding Cavaliers' third member of their big three. And I wonder if the Cavaliers would take that phone call. Third pick overall, if they felt like Kevin Love, who did great things at times as part of this championship team, but didn't do great things all the time, and at times looked like he fit out as opposed to fitting in, if there was any, you know, time to talk about possibly moving him, what would you think about the third pick overall in the draft for, you know, your max contracted out power forward?
And that's the interesting question, that if the Cavs continue to go down the let's look into trading Kevin Love, which we've all been speculating for a while may be the case in this offseason, regardless of LeBron's intentions. The real question is, because, again, the way salaries and how trades have to work in the NBA, you have to match those up and yada yada. So we know the Cavs would get some kind of a haul. The question is, do you want draft picks and young guys, or do you want a cadre of role players to fit in specific roles? So... And I lean towards the latter.
I think they'd have to find a power forward.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think they would have to get a power forward. And in this case, it could mean that third pick in the draft. You know, I mean, obviously we know that the top two picks are going to be Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram.
Right.
In one order or the other. And according to almost all of the reports now, the 76ers have all but told Ben Simmons, you're coming here.
Right.
And Brandon Ingram would then go to the Lakers at two. But by a number of accounts, you know, the next best possibility would be a forward like the freshman from Kentucky. What's his name? Labissier, is that how you say it? I'm not even sure if that's how you say it, but this is a 6'11", 245-pound power forward prospect.
Right.
These are the kinds of guys that might be available. Now, I don't know that this is something they would consider. And I will tell you this, if I'm David Griffin, I'm saying thanks, but no thanks. We are not trading anybody. We know the value that we have, and we know that when we figure it out together, these guys, certainly I won't say are unbeatable, but these guys are not something that we want to break up. This is not a threesome that we want to break up. We like J.R. Smith. We're going to re-sign him. We know he's a free agent, but we're going to re-sign him. We love the role players that we have, including Shump. You know, coming off the bench, the way things have worked out now, they probably need to shore some things up inside anyway because, you know, Tristan Thompson and Timofey Mozgov, it has become Tristan Thompson's spot. Mozgov is now just a role player.
And Mozgov's an unrestricted free agent. I don't expect him back.
Exactly. So you're going to have to shore some things up inside, as they say. You're going to have to replace Richard Jefferson for that team. So, you know, if you look at all of those possibilities and all of the things they are going to have to do already,
right.
I can't imagine them wanting to upset the apple cart too much by trading away the third member of your big three, even if he has gone from 25-14 the way he was in Minnesota to, you know, 18-9 or 16-9 or 17-10 or whatever it is. It is still worth, you know, keeping, especially once you saw the confidence grow in that guy. The way he went at the glass and in Game 7 of the NBA Finals on the offensive end, the defense he put on, the desire, the heart that he showed, answering so many questions about himself, I can really, really see that staying, you know, staying that little nucleus, if you will, staying put.
And there is always that possibility that nothing happens. As you've heard me, Bob, say these last couple of days, and really even the last time this subject came up before the finals ended, my thoughts are maybe he's just a bad matchup against specifically Golden State. Is that really something to push the panic button over? Because he sure didn't seem like that much of a problem in this lineup in the first
Not
couple of rounds and things like that. And so maybe it's just specific matchups, which, by the way, I think the dynamic of the Warriors totally changes if they get somebody like Kevin Durant in there. And incidentally, I found the details on the Chicago Tribune first reported it. Now you got Mark Stein on ESPN and a whole bunch of others. It's Justin Holiday, Derrick Rose, and a 2017 second rounder to the Knicks, Robin Lopez, Jose Calderon, and Jerian Grant to the Bulls. That's one of them that is apparently in the process. And looking up the other detail, was a three-team trade, and that's involving Jeff Teague from the Hawks point guard going to Indiana, George Hill going to Utah, and the number 12 pick to Atlanta. So already moves are starting to be made, and you'll see more of these, even though free agency doesn't start till July 1st. You'll see more of these because If the NBA and the rest are going to interpret what LeBron said as, yes, it means for 2016-17, LeBron will be in Cleveland, that'll allow everything else to start filtering out because, again, last two times LeBron was in these free agency modes, all the NBA was on a holding pattern until he finished deciding.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. That is real. And you know what? It's so amazing to me that we're here one day, the day they're having the championship parade. And I don't care if the championship parade is in Cleveland or if it would have been in Oakland or if it would have been in Toronto or anywhere else. The fact is they're having a championship parade today and already player movement for next year is underway and the draft is tomorrow. I think they really need to take a little more time celebrating the end of the regular or of the postseason, let the champion marinate in their victory for a little while, then maybe next week sometime, let's start talking about free agency and start talking about the draft. It is very bizarre to me that they just go literally from one season into the next.
Quite frankly, the way they should do it, because I'm thinking about this real quick, and thinking about it in terms of versus the NFL and how they do it. You know, March 1st or something around there is when free agency begins, and then you got the draft now in late April. You can keep free agency period starting on July 1st because that's how the NBA calendar works. But what's the sense? Instead of June 23rd, why not about July 15th-ish for the draft? I don't see what's so wrong with that.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, and I don't know, and I'm sure they have reasons for it. I'm sure they have some sort of game plan in mind as to why they're doing this to maximize exposure. I don't know, while everything is real hot, red hot, you know, stay on the front burner. I don't know what, I think the NFL has it right.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, their championship ends in obviously early February, and then they get 2 months of kind of build up, and then bang, dominate the news cycle again for a couple of weeks, the week before the draft and the week after the draft with grades and everything in late April or May or whatever time they're doing it now. And then of course the mini camps come and, you know, they dominate in the summer period as well when they get back to work. But at any rate, the draft is tomorrow. I want to take a time out now. When we come back, we're going to try to reestablish connections with Chris Lemieux too. I was just reading a story, Jim, by the way. Chris shouldn't be planning on going anywhere because the headline out of Cleveland at 3:25 p.m. 15 minutes ago is lengthy delays for frustrated commuters leaving Cavs parade. It's taking hours to get out of garages. It's taking hours to get out of parking lots. And if you're waiting to ride the RTA to where your car is parked at a station, it's taking hours to get on one of the buses or one of the trains.
I believe that. I saw a tweet maybe an hour ago that said something to the effect of Corey Kluber's having a hard time getting into Progress Field. That's another random factor. There's supposed to be an Indians drive for a sweep tonight against Tampa in that ballpark.
Great point. Yeah. So Chris isn't going anywhere. Hopefully, as things try to sort of, kind of, maybe, in a way, thin out, he'll be able to get some reception and be able to talk to us. We want to chat with him about what's going on there at the parade. I see some people on hold right now. I want to talk about the player movement situation. We want to get into that. Regarding the drafts, SI has put together a pretty interesting look at all 30 teams and what their needs are in the draft tomorrow. I want to share the Pistons and the Cavaliers segments with you, as per Sports Illustrated. And then, of course, get your thoughts on all this as well. So it's really just a packed program we have today with a lot of NBA movement and a lot of stuff. I do have a couple of NFL notes, too, believe it or not. The Lions making a little bit of news. Just so far as some things that Matthew Stafford had to say. So if you want to get into that, we can do that. Here's something you definitely want to get into before we take our first time out. We want you to get into the website at 1065theticket.com and click on My Toledo Auction. All right? You've got to register for this, and you can do it now. You can register today for My Toledo Auction, which will go live Thursday morning at midnight, you know, Wednesday night, into tomorrow morning. I can't believe it's Wednesday already. This week is flying. So tonight at midnight, going into tomorrow morning, you can start to bid through Monday. Monday, the bidding ends Monday at 11 a.m. on some incredible items, some products and services from our great partners, the wonderful people that we do business with, that we have that advertise with us, and that we point you to for great products and services. They are offering you deals on so many things for pennies on the dollar, depending on your bidding habits, obviously. I mean, we're talking about yard equipment, we're talking about power equipment, we're talking about furniture, we're talking about home improvement items, we're talking about recreation, we're talking about gift cards. I mean, it's amazing, and you can save a ton of money by bidding on the My Toledo auction page, which you can find at 1065theticket.com. But you have to register in order to bid. Register now, and then tonight when the site goes live at midnight, or tomorrow morning at your leisure, in between now and Monday at 11 o'clock, you can bid on the great items and save a ton of money on some tremendous products and services from our friends. At my from all of our friends, and you find that at My Toledo Auction at 1065theticket.com. All right, let's get a Sports Center, and if you're on hold, stay there. We're coming right to your phone calls right after this on ESPN 1065 The Ticket.
Calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 1065 The Ticket.
Nothing quite like a championship celebration. It's been a while since 2004, obviously, for the Detroit Pistons fans to remember what that is like. Obviously, the Red Wings much more recently. For Cleveland, no team, no franchise, none of them, Browns, Indians, nor Cavs, since 1964, which makes today an absolutely amazing experience for the people out there. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to that whole city. It is just really a thing to behold. You know what, Jim Cushion? I just saw a tweet on the parade.
Okay.
And somebody pointed out that the 1.3 million people that have descended on Cleveland, Ohio for that parade out there.
All right.
Is more than what they get in Times Square in New York City on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
That is crazy.
Nice.
Now, it's not so nice, though, because here's what I don't know how many people realize. And I really hope we get to establish contact with Chris Lemieux that we can actually hear and understand. Because he's obviously at this parade. I saw a note yesterday in which the city of Cleveland announced there will be no porta potties on site. There will be no porta potties. You know, which, of course, you would think for a million people, you better have some place for people to go to,
right,
to use facilities and relieve themselves. They said they weren't going to have any. And that is all. What made me think of this is that's how they do it in Times Square. Once you get to your spot in Times Square, you're not allowed to leave it on New Year's Eve. They have it like almost roped off or sectioned off in somehow where you're like in a quadrant, and that's your place. You can't, because if they don't keep people in some semblance of order like that, they'll just keep pushing forward, 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 and everybody will get crushed up against stages and trucks, etc. So they have these quadrants there. You're not allowed to leave your quadrant. If you do, you're not allowed back in because, well, obvious reasons, everybody would just be milling everywhere and saying, I'm in that one, I'm in that one, no, I'm in that one, and you'd have that problem. So people who go to Times Square, this is going to sound disgusting to people, but I'm just telling you, people go to Times Square on New Year's Eve. No, they can't leave their quadrant, and that means even to go find a bathroom. And so they are encouraged to wear adult undergarments where they're going Times Square on New Year's Eve. And they are basically relieving themselves on site. And I don't know how they're doing it down there in Cleveland today, but I just know that with 1.3 million people there, businesses are not going to just have their doors open and say, sure, come on in. How many drunken people can we have in our bathrooms trying to use our facilities? You know, other than bars and places that are actually selling those beverages, nobody's going to just open their doors. So I wonder how people are handling that part of the parade. And I wonder how they're going to clean up after themselves and the city cleans up after itself once that is determined, once this whole thing is over. So really, really kind of crazy stuff going on there, down there. And again, we'll try to talk to Chris Lemieux, and maybe he'll have some answers for us.
Well, I can say that the team, they're doing the rally part, so they're on the stage. So hopefully, by about, you know, worst case scenario, this time next hour, it'll start to get a little bit less crazy, and we could establish a connection with Chris. Because when you have 1.3 million people, almost all of them nowadays with phones, I've seen him try to take the pictures.
Yeah,
you're going to get bad reception or none.
And one of the Cleveland police tweets that I follow, because if you're on Twitter, by the way, first of all, follow us. We'd love to communicate with you at Sports Radio 106.5. Second of all, just look at the trending hashtag Cavs Parade, and you'll see what I'm talking about. One of the Cleveland police tweets that show, how about that, police tweets. Said that they're reporting a 3-hour delay just to get on a rapid bus or train. 3 hours to get on the train. That's to take you to wherever it is that your vehicle is parked at whatever rapid station. And then getting out of there is going to be a zoo. Who knows how many hours?
Yeah, and incidentally, trying to text with Chris Lemieux, of course, who's on the scene. One of them was like, so sorry about that. I had to get over the bridge just to send a text.
Oh, my God. That's what we're talking about. And as you just pointed out, Jim, literally 5 minutes ago, the Cavaliers just took the stage at the end of the parade.
They finally are on stage
now. To have all of their speeches and, you know, and fire the crowd up, et cetera. So people who showed up there at literally, I had people tell me this morning, they were going to the Rapid Station at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. for a parade that was supposed to start at 11 because they knew what it was going to be like. Those people aren't going to be getting out of there until well after 5 p.m., and that's just, you know, it's almost 4 now, and the stage show just starting. These people are going to be there till 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night after being there since 5. That's how crazy it's going to be to try to get out of there. But you know what? Not one of them will ever forget the experience of being there for something they've been waiting over 5 decades for any one of the teams. And by the way, as we go to Aaron in Toledo, Aaron, stay there. Just wait for one more second. Kush, you being a longtime Cleveland fan, you know that Cleveland isn't even a Cavs town.
No.
They're a Browns town, first and foremost. They have been a Browns town since forever. The last championship,
and then you
of
have
course,
oddball.
Was the Browns in 1964.
Yeah.
And then maybe the Indians are second. I think the Cavaliers have long been, you know, the third team in town.
Oh, no question. No question about that. I mean,
with the exception of LeBron's superstar status, since he came, you know, the first time and now the return, you know, just as a
they were just kind of there.
Yeah, as a city, I mean, even back in the Price and Doherty and Hot Rod days when they were, you know, being beaten by Michael Jordan's shot.
Which,
and,
incidentally, for those who don't remember, those were at Richfield Coliseum, which is more or less between Akron and Cleveland. It's not even in downtown like the Q is now.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's just been, you know, they've been the third. They're the Kevin Love of the Big Three.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, but my point is, look how crazy they're going for the Cavs. Can you imagine if the Browns had ever won a Super Bowl?
We're talking about 1.3 million. It'd be like 5.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, and most people would have it as Browns and then Indians and then Cavs. Yeah. My family's the oddball. We reverse the Indians and the Browns part, but either way, it's Cavs still end up number 3. But and I was even talking that because I spent that Sunday night with my dad on Father's Day. I made the trek up there. I had to watch that game with him, and that part of the discussion came up. He's like, "Well, I'd have preferred to be the Indians or the Browns," and I'm like, right. "Yeah, but it's been 52 years, Dad. You were 10. Are we really going to complain
and
about this?
And
yeah,
that's why,
no, we're not.
And that's why things are the way they are downtown right now, even for the third wheel, if you will, of the three in that particular city. All right. By the way, somebody's going to have to educate me because I'm not nearly as fluent in Detroit speak. What is it? Is it a Tiger town first? Is it a Wings town? Is it a Pistons town? My gut tells me, being from, you know, the other side of the state line, and not being that fluent in Detroit speak, my gut tells me it's a Tiger town first. Then probably Wings, then Pistons, then Lions. Can you?
Believe it or not, I think the Lions are higher up just because it is football.
Okay, you know, we're gonna have to ask that of Chris Lemieux too. Pride of Detroit. He's in Cleveland, but he's pride of Detroit. So we'll ask him that. All right, Aaron is in Toledo. Aaron, thank you, brother. You are beyond patient for waiting this long to get on the air with us as we go through all of this nonsense. But thanks very much for the time. Go right ahead, sir.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Hey, I wanted to respond to your comments that you made earlier about, you know, Kevin Love and about, you know, possibly him being a potential trade target, and that if you were David Griffin, that to say, you know, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Let me play devil's advocate here for a second, kind of disagree with you and explain why.
Sure.
If I were David Griffin, I would definitely look at all the options to make the team better, younger, replace guys that they're going to be losing to free agency, and even if that includes, you know, trading Kevin Love. If the Celtics are truly interested...
Well, hold on a second. Let me clarify one thing. I didn't say I wouldn't listen to the calls. I said I would evaluate the situation and end up saying thanks, but no thanks. I'm not saying, oh, this guy's untouchable, that guy's untouchable, don't even bother. I'm not suggesting that. I agree with you. He should take calls and see what people have to say. But at the end of the day, unless they blow you away with something, and maybe that's what you're about to do with your devil's advocacy, unless they blow you away with something, I would not bust up the core, the nucleus. So go ahead.
Well, okay, yeah, I'll take it one step further. So let's just say, you know, the Celtics are truly interested in Kevin Love and willing to give up the number three pick, maybe potentially a reserve player involved as well. You know, that number three pick, they could potentially get a stud there, whether it's, you know, the kid from Kentucky that you were talking about, Jamal Murray, the other kid from Kentucky. I guess that kid from, I don't know his name, Spiss or whatever from Washington. They said he's an absolute freak of an athlete, and he's a power forward. But, you know, if they get him off, if they get Love off the books, they can go after potentially good power forward at through free agency. One example being Al Horford.
You know, you're the second person I've heard today mention Al Horford being available and how he might fit with, you know, with Cleveland. Because he's not that far behind Kevin Love in terms of statistics, at least this season. He's never been when he was, you know, he's never been in Kevin Love when Kevin Love was the go-to guy in Minnesota, where the numbers he put up are just staggering. But in the context of the Cavs offense with LeBron and Kyrie being options one and two, he might fit as well or better than Kevin Love. It is, you know, like I said, you're the second person to mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make some very, very fair points. And again, I mean, that's why I think Griffin will listen to calls and he'll take calls and have conversations.
But the Cavs don't have, you know, and let's not forget, the Cavs don't have any, now granted that they won't be much of a big deal anyway if they did have one, but they don't have a draft pick at all. So, I mean, if they can get Kevin Love off the books, and we don't know what the relationship truly is like that with him in Cleveland. He could be, it could be bad. I don't want to say bad, well, that's too harsh, but, you know, it couldn't be a negative relationship there. And if they can find somebody else with his talent and capabilities, you know, along with getting a solid draft pick with it, hey, you know, go for it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm not going to argue with you and say you're wrong, I'm right at all. You're not wrong. I just think at the end of the day, the words you used at the end there, I might say, are wrong when you say that they can find somebody with his talent. His talent is very, very, very impressive. He is
no doubt.
He is an all NBA caliber player and has been, of course, for a while. Who just had to take a third role, a third player role, or a third backseat, or whatever you want to call it, to two other guys. So you're absolutely not wrong. There are a lot of different things they could do and possibly may do, but it would have to be a home run. If you're going to, and I know, like I said, he's maxed out and you're talking about getting him off the books. The only way I even want him off the books, again, is if there is a home run, and A, that would include a power forward, whether it be a young guy who is going to be a stud, or it's a Horford, somebody who's already an all-star caliber player. You have to get a replacement for him at his position and fill a role. A Jefferson-type role since he's going to retire. You know, a backup point guard role unless you're ready to roll with Mo Williams for another year. It looks like Delly is kind of out of the, you know, the equation now. He was really an afterthought in the finals.
And real quick, Mo Williams did pick up his player option for next year because that had to be done by the night of game six.
I know, and that's what I mean, though. I mean, if you're comfortable with that being your backup point guard, you know, and not Delly, because Mo didn't play very much at all this year due to injuries and rotation decisions by Blatt and then Lou. If you're okay with that, fine, but I would be looking for some depth there. Again, the small forward fill-in off the bench role that Richard Jefferson played, and a power forward. If you can't get all of those things addressed, in my mind, if I'm David Griffin, like I said, I'm saying thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to stay with the all-star that I have at three positions.
Yeah. Can I give you a quick...
Real quick, because I'm already late for the top of the hour. Go ahead and make this last point.
Let's say that happens. Let's say that happens, and the Cavs get either... let's say the Cavs fill two positions with this scenario. Cavs get the number three pick for Kevin Love and maybe a role player involved or whatever as well. They take Chris Dunn, the kid from Vanderbilt, or not Vanderbilt,
Providence.
Wherever he was. Providence. And then they sign Al Horford as a free agent. Would you take that?
Chris Dunn and Al Horford in exchange
two
for
positions,
Kevin Love?
Backup guard and a power forward.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think Chris Dunn would want to do that, and I think you would have a situation here where he is a point guard who's, you know, in the top five, probably rated on every big board. He wants to go somewhere and play. If he's going to come here and have to be what Matthew Dellavedova was or Mo Williams was to Kyrie, meaning very few limited minutes a night, only when Kyrie needs breaks, I could see him being a disruptive presence in the same way that Deion Waiters was because Deion Waiters, as you recall, he thought he was better and said so publicly he thought he was better than Kyrie Irving. And I don't think Chris Dunn would be a guy that would be willing to play his role.
Unless he's willing to maybe move over at shooting guard, replace JR, since JR already said he's going to opt out.
He's too small for that, I think. You know, he's
Is he too small? I thought he was maybe – I thought he was like 6'5", 6'6".
No,
I thought he was
six,
a big guard.
Okay. He's 6'4", and that might be stretching it. You know, JR is a legit 6'5", almost 6'6". I think he's a better defender there.
Hey, so Bob, I appreciate the phone call, man. I know you got to get off. So.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you waiting so long, Aaron. I wanted to give you as much time as you needed since you held on for such a long time. All right, let's get a top of the hour Sports Center. And while we do that, how about we do something fun for you? Okay, I've got some very, very cool stuff. By the way, at 4:30, I've got something way cool for you. There is a limited edition. Only 500 of these are going to be made. A limited edition Cavaliers souvenir memorabilia. It is a tremendous thing. I'll tell you all about it coming up in a few minutes. It's also, by the way, when these are sold, we're going to give one away, but when these are sold, it's going to make money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's very cool. We're going to talk to Bai Babaka, a longtime Cubs PR director who's putting that out. But for now, I've got something a little bit different for you. If you would like to go to watch the Marathon Classic, I've got a four-pack of tickets. Remember, that great event is at Highland Meadows in Sylvania, July 11th to the 17th. If you want to go watch some PGA golf, the four-pack of tickets to the Marathon Classic is yours if you're the 10th caller right now to 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065. We'll hook you up with that on the way into the second hour, which is coming up on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Dellavedova finds Irving for three. Oh, he puts it in! Kyrie Irving nails it!
Kyrie Irving, what a shot! And a perfectly executed play. Give Tyronn Lue a lot of credit. This is a design play.
All tied at 78. It's time if it goes! Chance, no timeouts. Gotta hustle it up. Reggie Jackson looking for help. 2-1. Jackson, the three, short. Game over. Cavaliers win. They sweep the Detroit Pistons.
Finding Irving. Three is down. Just got screened by LeBron, who puts up a three. He hit his first three-point attempt in game one. He hits his first three-point attempt here in game two. Love three. Kevin Love has knocked down a couple triples. Smith three. Oh! Every chamber is filled. Smith three over Corver.
Are you kidding me?
Good job, defense. Smith with a three.
I mean, what do you do? Seriously, what do you do on that?
Smith, the fake. Corver flies by another three. No! No!
Could this be the record?
Yeah. Dante Towns! Did I call it? There is the record. Did I call that or what?
8 inches to James, who wins the tap. It goes to the corner. Horford tries to get to it. The three is on the way. Millsap falls. Oh. And it's over. And the Cavaliers have swept the Hawks.
Shumpert throws it down. Boy, a lot of easy buckets for Cleveland here in the first quarter. Irving blows past Lowry, gets to the basket, banks in the reverse.
Dellavedova
lobs it up, and James throws it down. Irving oohs and ahs from the crowd, and Irving with the finish.
Wow.
Irving to Love. Love, hot step, hits a three. James gets it down low, kicks it out. Love steps back. Kevin Love, 4 for 4 from the field, and the lead is 11. The Cleveland Cavaliers win the Eastern Conference Final in 6 games, and now advance to the NBA Finals. James keeps his dribble somehow. Irving back to James. Oh, he throws it down. Kyrie Irving's jump shot is good. James drives and easily finishes, and James off to a good start. James jumper. Again, LeBron James has the perimeter game going. Steps back. Kyrie Irving. Beautiful jumper from Irving. What a first half he's had. Irving for three. Irving fakes. Drives. James on the throwdown. James to Thompson. Oh, what a pass from LeBron James. 31-9. Irving the crossover. Irving the pull-up. Tries again. Connects. Pass inside. Stolen by Irving. Throws it ahead to Smith. Smith. Alley-oop to James. Wow.
Crowd going crazy.
5 to shoot. Azealia again goes back up on him. James steps back for three. Puts it in. LeBron James from 3. side, off balance, comes up short, gets his own rebound and puts it back. Irving drives, hop step inside, close it up, misses. Rebound taken by Iguodala. Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James.
Oh, my goodness.
Come up on a minute remaining, and they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up.
It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown.
Trying to stay with Curry. Catches. One dribble. Steps back. Puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spates. Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hour number two is underway a little bit later than it should be, but we are so glad you are with us right here. It's Celebration Day in Cleveland. Great job, by the way, for by Jim Cushlin. And really well done. I ask Cushlin, Jim and I talk every day, obviously. We have a little meetings, whether they be by phone or not. We talk about things we want to do, and we always talk about this opening montage. And Jim said, what do you think we ought to do here? And I said, how about since they're having the parade celebrating their championship today in the city to the east of Toledo in Cleveland, how about we do something that commemorates their championship, not just replaying the highlights from the finals and Game 7, but the run. Series 1 against the Detroit Pistons, a 1-versus-8 matchup. Series 2 against the Atlanta Hawks when the Cavaliers went just haywire with three-pointers, setting that record with 77 threes in a four-game sweep series. And then, of course, the really interesting Toronto series in which they dominated for two at home, got dominated for two up in Detroit, or I mean in Toronto, and then came back and took care of business once again in Games 5 and 6 to win that one. And then, of course, the Warriors series we just all witnessed. And great job, really a great job, just a retrospective of what the Cavaliers accomplished on their way to their first world championship in franchise history and the first team championship for any pro team in the city of Cleveland in 52 years since 1964.
And a little insight for our listeners. You're like, is that going to be too hard in like an hour? I'm like, actually, no. I save all these things from all the past montages.
I thought you would have, but I just didn't know if you'd be able to piece them together in time by the time.
Oh, because I knew where everything
so.
Was. That actually
really,
made it
yeah.
easy.
Yeah, it was really, really fun just kind of reliving all of that stuff. It's amazing how long the postseason really is, because that started when? When did the postseason start?
Game one, and I'm triple-checking it, but I want to say game one against Detroit was April 17th.
Wow. So April 17th, and they finished on Sunday, which was June what?
19th.
So two full months of playoffs. That is amazing. That's like a season in and of itself. And anyway, that was just an awful lot of fun. Hey, congratulations to Joe Garrity of Toledo. He won the tickets to the Marathon Classic. We'll have more of those tickets to give away over the course of the next 2 weeks.
Plenty more.
I'm sorry?
Plenty more.
Plenty more, yes, indeed. So we'll give those away as the opportunity arises for us. And I want to check back in now. First of all, I got NBA news. Some of the stuff Jim Cushlin was teasing, and not teasing, but just kind of reporting that these are what sources are saying. They're getting more and more firm now, these sources, that a big deal has been made. Jeff Teague to the Pacers from the Hawks. He is their 27-year-old point guard who was an all-star, averaged 15.7 points and just under 6 assists, shooting 44% and 40% from three. Big, big addition there, potentially for Paul George in Indiana. So he's going to go to the Pacers. George Hill will end up going to the Jazz, and the number 12 pick will go to the Hawks. So George Hill from the Pacers to the Jazz. Utah sends the 12th pick to Atlanta.
This possibly opens up that Al Horford stuff you and our last caller were talking about, because that's a sign to me that Atlanta may be starting the blow-up process.
Well, maybe not, because Mark Stein of ESPN, whom you quoted earlier on, Jim, is reporting that the Hawks plan to shop that number 12 pick in hopes of creating further cap space and flexibility to re-sign Horford and swingman Kent Bazemore.
Okay, then.
So that changes that considerably, obviously, if that's something that, you know, people are kicking around in their heads about Kevin Love, and if he goes, what kind of power?
Well, then I stand corrected on the Hawks thing, then.
Yeah, so there's that. And then the other one that you had been referencing earlier on, too, was the Derrick Rose story, which, again, is a very, very interesting one. Derrick Rose reportedly going to be going to the Knicks. Derrick Rose to the Knicks in a huge deal. That's a blockbuster because he's a former MVP, even though I don't think he deserved it. He's a former MVP and an all-star. The Knicks and Bulls agreeing to this deal, sending Robin Lopez from New York along with Jose Calderon and guard Jerian Grant to Chicago. Chicago is also shipping Justin Holiday along with Derrick Rose and a 2017 second-round pick. So next year, back to New York. The Chicago Tribune first reported that deal. Sources are telling ESPN that it is a done deal, and it is going to be, once league approval is granted, it is going to be finalized and announced.
I feel more confident in saying that's the beginning of the Bulls blow-up, because we've been hearing since the season ended that Pau Gasol was possibly out the door as well. So that leaves Jimmy Butler and a bunch of who?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, though. I said this a number of times last year, that to me, the Bulls looked more dangerous. Now, maybe not more dangerous. They looked better. They looked more like a team. They looked more cohesive during the many, many, many games that Derrick Rose misses. Even games when he's available, but he's off the floor. The Bulls have a tendency, at least by my eyes, to be spectators when Derrick Rose is on the floor. Because he is so ball dominant, now we use that term a lot, by the way. You know, Russell Westbrook is ball dominant. Kyrie Irving is ball dominant. You know, Steph Curry is ball dominant. These are point guards that are ball dominant. And sometimes that's taken as a criticism, and it shouldn't be, because sometimes ball-dominant point guards are outstanding because they're such great scorers and playmakers. I think Kyrie is in that category. But Derrick Rose is so ball-dominant and not getting other guys involved, at least, again, to my eyes, that they become spectators, and they just watch and see where's Derrick going with it this time. And it seems like when he's out, and again, not in every circumstance, but it seems like when he's out, they become a better, more cohesive, more chemistry. What's the word for that? They have better chemistry. I don't know how to phrase that any other way. Than they are with him on the floor. That's not to say he can't pass. His season high, his career high, I should say, is 7.9 back in 2011-2012, and I think that was his MVP season, was it not? Or was it 2010 and 11?
I think it was 10-11.
Okay, yeah, that's when he averaged a career-high 25 points and 7.7 assists. So two times he's averaged over 7. But the last 3 years, you know, he's averaged 4, 4.9, and 4.7 assists, respectively. So, you know, he's not a great playmaker, to me. He's a guy that everybody else on his team stands around and watches. Maybe that was a coaching issue. Maybe that was a coaching issue with Tom Thibodeau. Maybe that was something that could be fixed. But all I'm saying is, don't assume because Derrick Rose is gone that they're going to blow it up in Chicago. They're going to build around Jimmy Butler, their all-star. If Pau Gasol maybe is a little happier now because, you know, Derrick isn't going to be there doing that sort of thing, who knows what they can add. So don't just assume that the subtraction of Rose equals rebuild for the Chicago Bulls. In my mind, the subtraction of Rose can potentially possibly be, I know it sounds crazy, addition. By that subtraction. All right, so there's a couple of NBA player notes, trade moves that have been made thus far, or at least have been reported to be being finalized. Let's go back out to Cleveland, where we talked to a guy who writes for PrideOfDetroit.com. He's DET all the way, but he's CLE today, out there covering the parade and just participating in and watching the parade and having a good time. Let's see if we have a better cell connection now with Chris Lemieux, working for Pride of Detroit, also working for us right here at ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, are you there?
You sound so much better right now than you did before. That's a great
start. Can I tell you the difference? I was on West Huron Street last time I called you. Now I'm in Ohio City.
Wow.
So that's how far I've had to walk to get, like, a better... I've given up on trying to get onto the RTA. Like, I tried, like, I'm at the station right now, in the RTA station in Ohio City, and, like, two cars have gone by, and they haven't even bothered to stop because they're full.
Well, I saw a tweet from Cleveland Police that said RTA is reporting a 3-hour delay to get on any trains.
Oh, wonderful.
Or buses or anything else. 3-hour delay to get it back to any station.
Yeah, and I parked way out past, like, Triscuit Station, which is Lakewood. So
that's what I was going to ask you, where you ended up getting parking. What time did you get down there, Chris?
I got here pretty late from what I understand. I got here around, like, 9:30, and that was late enough for every RTA parking lot to be, like, closed off with police tape.
That's been insane. So where did you park?
Just on a street, on a residential street. You know, there was a bunch of other cars there, and, you know, there were no parking signs to deter people from it, so I just parked there, and hopefully my car will be there when I get back. I'm just everything today is based on hope and experience. You hope to experience what this parade is, and I've had some success. I've had some failures. I think everyone has. And what was the number you guys told me? 1.3 million?
1.3 million is what they're reporting.
I dispute that. I think there has to be much more. There's not a city analog as to what Cleveland is today, like in the United States. This isn't New York. This is more like Mumbai, where like every rule of the street is just out the door, and there's just throngs of human flesh echoing up and down all these ancient streets. Like I've seen people climbing the buildings to get a good vantage point. It's just a glimpse, maybe a sliver of this rally, which apparently is like because they were crowding around the cars was like delayed by like 4 hours.
Chris, so many questions for you about what you're doing there. First of all, what are you doing there? You are prideofdetroit.com. You are all about Detroit teams. Why did you go to Cleveland? I know Billy Michaels didn't pay you to go out there, so you're not doing that. You're not getting a check from us for that. So you're just out there.
Not
going to
check
for
Pride Detroit either. Yeah, I was bored, pretty much. Like that's the whole start and end of this.
Are you
like,
solo?
I'm solo. I meet up with I always have this knack of meeting up with people. I've met up with like three different guys from Kelly Island, rode a bus down here with a girl who came all the way up from Lexington, Kentucky, a couple others from Cincinnati. Like they've come from all over here. Like
that's very cool.
Yeah, it's like Maka right now. It's just unbelievable the amount of people here. And yeah, like I knew that this was probably gonna blow up. And I was probably going to get stranded and probably, like, delay to my car until the wee hours.
Yeah,
but
that's exactly what you're going to have happen. I was talking before. I know people who got to their rapid stations in order to take the RTA downtown at 5 o'clock this morning for a parade that was supposed to start at 11.
They
were great. They got a parking spot. Good for them. And they got down there. Good for them. Getting out, it's going to be 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night by the time they're able to get back to their actual car and get out of there.
Yeah, I'm expecting that. I know the Kelly Island people stayed overnight, and they even told me, like, some of the bar keeps in downtown Cleveland didn't even bother to leave. They just slept in their cars and then immediately started serving at, like, 8 a.m. Like, this city hasn't really, like, stopped thinking about this since Sunday evening, really.
Okay.
And, yeah, like, I'm a sports guy, and I just figured this is something I'm not going to see again, and I missed the 08 parade in Detroit, so here I am.
Chris, you don't have to tell me your exact age if you don't want to, but give me a range of your age.
I'm near the end of my 20s.
Okay. So that would make, I'm going back to 2004, the last Pistons parade, the last title.
Yeah,
so
I would have been in high school. Yeah.
You were in high school. Did you go to the parade in Detroit?
No, I did not. And in 2008, when the Wings had their parade, I was living in Canada, so I didn't get to go to either of those.
The only reason I'm asking is I wanted to get a comparison in terms of the mass of flesh, as you call it, the humanity, the Mumbai or Mecca or whatever it is you want to call it, type of atmosphere down there in terms of people, because you know Detroit has had, fortunately for them, multiple opportunities to have championship parades in the last 20 or 30 years. Cleveland hasn't had one in over 50, and I think that's why, you know, you said this isn't New York. You're right. It's bigger than New York. The word that I also got today was that 1.3 million, which you dispute, even if it is just 1.3, that's more than they get for New Year's Eve at Times Square for Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve. So I'm just wondering how much more off the hook this Cleveland 52-year celebration party is compared to the more routine championship, for lack of a better way of saying it, parades that they've held in Detroit.
Yeah, like I don't really have many good memories of Detroit parades to really go off of. I know I've watched other cities' parades before, though, on ESPN, and it's like maybe it's because I'm in the middle of it. It's nothing like those, really. Like, I mean, maybe Golden State had a really cool one. I know the Miami ones, when LeBron was there, they were nothing like this, just watching on TV. Like, even from afar, just some of the pictures I've seen on Twitter when I have my brief glimpses of Wi-Fi access or, you know, wireless broadband, like, they look insane. Like, I don't know if there's been a parade like this. Maybe if you went down to, like, maybe Brazil when they bring back the World Cup or something, maybe it's something like that. But, like, I don't know if there's been anything like this in North America.
What are you hearing from people that you run into down there? Obviously, you're talking to people since you went solo. You're interacting. I mean, from what I've been told by people who are there and texted, et cetera, there are tears just flowing down grown men's cheeks. People who just never thought this would happen in their lifetime after all the near misses, after the, you know, Michael Jordan shot beat the Price and Doherty and Hot Rod team that was probably the best team in the East, not named, you know, Chicago with Michael there and, you know, a chance to win a championship. And we all know about the Browns' near misses, the Indians' two World Series losses. With all of that stuff, people just felt and accepted, I'm going to live and die without seeing a championship in my city. And for those who are especially older, they're the ones who just are really overcome by emotion here. They finally got to see one.
Maybe I've become, because I've been hanging with people who have been partying for, like, multiple days or something. Like, I'm not really seeing the tears anymore. I'm just seeing relief. And as one guy put it, it was like, this is a celebration. Like, that's really what it is, simple celebration experience. Like, I stood there at the rally. Like, I got to that rally point at, like, 11 a.m., and I had them leave because I tried calling you guys at 3 o'clock. So I was there for 4 hours. They didn't come in those 4 hours, but still, like, no one seemed really upset other than, like, a couple people who are, like, having problems with the heat because it's starting to get really hot here, and there's a lot of people who are not equipped for the heat that came here.
Oh, yeah. But, of course. What's the actual air temperature there? It's not that bad, is it?
Well, it wasn't that bad this morning, but it just, you know, when you're
in
the middle.
Heat, I mean, the body heat, all
oh,
those
God,
people
yes,
compressed
yes.
into one area. That's the reason I asked what the actual air temperature was and what it must be on the street, you know?
I went to Atlanta for the Olympics in 96 when I was a babe, but I mean, I was like, what was I? I was like 10 when I went in 96 to the Olympics in Atlanta. I think that was a little hotter, but this is, I mean, what in there at the rally, it was comparable, like, and you weren't really getting sprayed down with anything. Once you walk away from there, it gets a little cooler, but still, it's a dank humidity around here right now, and I think it's in the 80s.
I actually saw some things on Twitter of the fire department helping out there and actually
cooling
people
off. Yeah,
they did
spray
us
a couple times. They kind of stopped.
Now you said, we got to wrap this, Chris, because we got to talk to Bob Ibach in a minute, but you said you're in Ohio City, which is obviously a distance away from where this parade route ends. Were you able to hear anything before you took the walk to get on the phone with us from the stage? What are some of the players saying? You know, can you give us just the gist of what's going on there at the end of the parade at the stage presentation?
I did walk by a few bars. Like, every bar around here has the rally on because they finally reached it about, like, 4 p.m., but what I saw was Dan Gilbert, but, like, just from everything I saw of the parade, I did catch a glimpse of the parade as it was kind of going snail's pace. Like, it's just, these guys are just raking it all in, like, every last player here. Like, it is just, you know, this is a moment that, like, you know, for a cult of personality LeBron has for this team, it is just to have everyone to have finally reached this mountaintop. It's so special. They're drinking in. I don't think J.R. Smith has put on a shirt since Vegas.
and
LeBron's like cruising along in like a top down converted Bentley, and like I've seen pictures of him with the old style sneakers. Of course I can see that, but like, it's just insane. And I'm definitely gonna be writing about this. I don't know if it'll be for Pride of Detroit or if I can pitch it to another site just as a general sports writing, but like I've been trying to encapsulate this moment. I think it's just a matter of experience. Everyone's here because they want to be, like, for a brief, fleeting second part of it. Like, and I don't even know if most people know what they want to be a part of here. They just want to be near it. They want to be in the aura of it. And
Again, this is something, Chris, again, that people from outside of Northeast Ohio can't understand. Again, especially you.
I think a lot
Detroit.
Of people can understand them.
Well, like, but I mean, you think you can, and I don't mean you particularly, but people think they can. But again, if you've been in cities where there have been parades and been championships and on an even semi-regular basis, or even just one in the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know, you can't understand what it's like to literally go 50 years, a couple of generations of fathers and sons coming and going without seeing this moment. And
I mean,
1.3 million people are packing a city with less than 300,000 in population.
Sure, but no, I'm not trying to do comparison because I think a lot of these people who came out on like Monday saying who's the most suffering sports in the States now, I think that's a weird question. But like, just on a single basis team, like, this would be comparable. I don't know if you get this many, but if like the Lions won the Super Bowl or something, I think it'd be just as big. But I think there's something basic human about this experience too.
Yeah, I get that. We were talking before you when you couldn't hear us because of our connection issues, Chris.
What they're experiencing
right now with the Cavaliers is incredible, and the Cavaliers are probably the third tier team in the city of Cleveland.
Oh sure, absolutely.
If there were a Browns championship, multiply what you've seen today by a factor of 10. And that's what you'd probably see down there. And so we were talking about this before. Because in Cleveland, the hierarchy kind of goes Brownstown first, then probably Indians, and until now, the Cavaliers. My guess was, being an outsider, not being a Detroit native, my sense is that it's a Tiger Town first, and then maybe
you know, it's actually funny because I know, like, NBC Sports tried figuring this out a few years ago. I think it's still Lions number one, but, like, Detroit's a weird town in that regard. And there's a lot of people, too, like you say, Cavs
so
are kind of third
Lions
tier,
fans,
but I think...
Hold on, there are more Lions fans in the D than there are Tigers, Wings, or Pistons, you're saying.
I think if there was, like, God,
despite
that's such a hard question.
Of the organization.
Yeah, I mean, because just football's just such king, right?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, I think that, but, like, I think at the same time, too, you talk about the Cavs, a third tier team, but there's definitely something to the appeal of LeBron as, like, this world superstar that has drawn this many people as well. This doesn't happen if it's just the Cavs without LeBron winning a title.
No, totally agree.
This is a game changer.
Yeah, well, he is a game changer, the most popular personality in that city and maybe probably in the state and maybe in all of the Midwest now.
Yeah, absolutely.
He catapults the Cavaliers up that little scale,
yeah,
if you will.
I think if all things are equal,
if all things are equal, what I'm saying is that it's definitely a Browns, Indians, Cavs
kind of. Yeah, fair. No, I agree with that.
The Kevin Love of the big three in that city. But now LeBron and winning this thing, of course, changes all that.
I think this is definitely more special to Ohio people. I've talked to so many of them today, and I'm going to try to put my thoughts and all these memories I've taken down to paper. But, like, yeah, Ohio people will appreciate it more, but there's something very, very human about this moment for just anyone, really, who's ever watched sports.
I think there are people in other cities who normally when the parade for, you know, the Warriors in Oakland last year happened, they just kind of ignored it. Whatever. You know, the Lakers, you know, you see Mark Madsen up there speaking in Spanish and acting a fool and shit.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, Alabama doesn't get these in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, you know, you look at these things and you're like, whatever. But I think there are going to be people in other cities for the first time looking at this parade and actually paying attention and trying to understand and experience what it's like.
Yeah, Cleveland is sharing its joy with the world. Yeah. Cleveland is sharing its joy with the world.
That's right.
I think, yeah, everyone can get on board.
Chris, I got to run. Chris Lemire
is in
Cleveland at the parade. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it. Chris, of course, is one of the great producers for us here at ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, as well as a great writer for the prideofdetroit.com and SB Nation site. We got to get rid of Chris only because we want to welcome Bob Ibach to the program. Bob Ibach is a longtime PR director for the Chicago Cubs and a guy that we have talked to previously right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. And he is helping to celebrate this world championship for the Cleveland Cavaliers in a very, very cool way that is also going to benefit not just fans, but the Make-A-Wish Foundation, youngsters throughout the state of Ohio who are in, very, very severe, serious states of health and who are trying to have their wishes come true before they are unable to do so. So let's bring Bob Ibach to the program. Again, a former PR director who's got something very, very cool to help celebrate this this event. Bob, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. It's nice to be with you. Enjoyed your last conversation. I can identify with what that gentleman was talking about because spending 10 years with the Chicago Cubs, frustrating a couple times. Got 5,000 World Series.
Hey, Bob, I hate to interrupt, but we're having a bad connection with you now. We had a bad one with Chris before.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
You're cutting out on us, and I want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you for the moment. I'll let you know if it starts to cut again, and we might have to reestablish the connection. But, that's a great point you just made, Bobby. You know, working for 10 years with the Chicago Cubs, of course, the team with the longest streak of futility in terms of getting a World Series victory, even longer than the Indians 1948 going back to 1908.
Yep.
You can kind of maybe understand what the fans in Cleveland are feeling right now.
I really do, and Lou Boudreaux used to be one of our announcers when I was with the Cubs. So, you know, the kid was there in 1948 with Cleveland, the player manager, and he used to tell me a lot of cool stories about Cleveland and everything else. So my hat goes off to the fans in your area and throughout the state of Ohio. And we've got something really cool. the Cavalier fans are going to want to get their hands on. And they're only made 5,000 of these, Bob. In a second, I'll give out a toll-free number and a website how you can get these. It's an officially licensed framed photo, the montage of the Cavaliers championship. It's going to raise monies for the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
They're priced at just $99 each. They're all individually numbered, officially licensed. It's about 18 by 22 inches. It's framed and double matted. And what you'll get inside this is a celebration shot of the team taken moments after the big win, 93-89 against the Dubs. The MVP presentation to LeBron James is in it. We've also got a breakdown round by round how the Cavaliers won each individual playoff section, going all the way coming back from that 3-1 deficit against Golden State. And what's really cool, Bob, I think, is they got the replica NBA Finals ticket inset into the matting. So you'll actually have a game ticket put inside of here. So for very historic purposes, if you'd like to order these, we set up two ways. They're $99 each. We only have about 1,800 of these left over from the 5,000 that we started out with. You can call 1-800-345-2868. That's toll-free, 1-800-345-2868, or just visit nicosports.com, N-I-K-C-O sports.com.
Is that actual item up, a photograph of it on the website?
Yes, it's on the website. When you go to the website at nicosports.com, you can see the framed photograph of this presentation. It is outstanding. I've found a lot of memorabilia in my lifetime, and I saw one of these that was sent to me, a prototype, and I was stunned. I mean, you hang this up in your office or in your home.
I've got someplace. It up right now. I'm looking at the site now. NIKCO. That's a strange way people may not realize. NICO. NIKCO. NICOSports.com. I'm looking at it right now, Bob. It is amazing. What size is this? Give people an idea of how big this will be on their wall.
It's 18 by 22 inches, and inside the mat measures 16 by 20 inside. The overall size is 18 by 22.
Got it.
It's all double matted frame, and it's got the montage of the celebration shot, the MVP photo, the playoff breakdown round by round, and the NBA Finals replica ticket.
Wow. It looks gorgeous. $99, again, only 5,000, so that makes this a limited edition collector's item, a piece of memorabilia. I know people, Bob, I'm sure you realize, who are just saving the front page of Monday's newspaper showing, you know, the championship.
Oh, yeah.
And something like this is something you pass down to your kid and to your kid's kid and so on and so forth, commemorating the first title for that franchise in their history and for that city out in Cleveland in 52 years. This is the kind of thing that they're going to want. So.
You definitely want. And know, too, that when you buy this, you're helping the child at Make-A-Wish Foundation have a special wish granted to them. So not only are you getting something very historic that you can treasure, but you also know in your heart that you're helping out a great cause and you're putting a smile on the face of a Make-A-Wish child.
No question about it. Bob Ibach, a former PR director for the Cubs, great, great item here. I'm going to make sure I have this number right. It's 800-345-2868. Did I get it right?
That's right, 1-800-345-2868, or just go to nicosports.com, K-C-O-Sports.com, $99. We'll snag you one of these. But I do want to tell folks that, we've only got about 1,800 coming into this afternoon, and with this being the parade day and everything else, these will sell out very quickly.
Bob, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to clarify this. I thought I had heard that we might have one of these available to give to a lucky listener this afternoon. Did I hear that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we got one coming your way to give away.
All right, so I want to make sure that we do that right now while Bob is still on the line with us. Again, if you want to order one of these, it's 800-345-2868. That's if you want to get one of the 1,800 left out of the 5,000 limited edition items that were made. We will give you one right now at a different phone number, though. Caller number 10, 866 240-1065. Call or 10 to that phone number. Talk to Jim Cushlin. Give him your information, and we will give you one of these limited edition collector's items commemorating the first championship in Cavaliers history and the first in Cleveland since 1964. Bob Ibach, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Great work on behalf of the Make-A-Wish Foundation and all of the kids who are going to be helped there. And thanks for helping to celebrate a championship for the good Cleveland Cavaliers fans everywhere.
Well, I'm very blessed to be part of it. I know 50 years is a long, long wait, and I'm just so happy that the fans in Cleveland now have something to really root for and celebrate. And just looking at the parade today, all those happy faces, there was no instance of any violence or anything else. Everybody's just having a splendid time. That's the way it should be.
Pure joy, and that's what sports are supposed to bring, and that's what championships are supposed to bring. Bob,
Amen.
Thanks very much. Best of luck. Continued success to you, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Have a good afternoon, Bob.
You do the same. Thanks so much. Okay, we need a timeout, but we don't get a timeout until I find a way to help save you money, especially when it comes to auto repairs. At LKQ Pick Your Part, you can bring your own tools, pull the parts you need right off of the cars, save big. It's that easy. Parts from over 1,000 vehicles to choose from in a clean, organized lot at LKQ Pick Your Part. You can always find new inventory for your car or truck, from transmissions to tires to rims to radiators. LKQ Pick Your Part. Visit there today. Find the part you need. LKQ Pick Your Part's always buying used vehicles. Call this number, 800-962-2277, if you've got a used vehicle for sale. Do you know you can save up to 90% on your auto repairs when you do it yourself? At LKQ Pick Your Part, you do the work so you enjoy those big savings. Like to work on your car and save money? Then visit LKQ Pick Your Part. And remember, at LKQ Pick Your Part, all our parts are always guaranteed, always. On Hagman Road, just off East Alexis Road in Toledo. We'll be right back after this.
Back to Bob France, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Oh, my goodness. What an amazing couple of hours we've had just trying to follow everything that's going on Championship Wednesday, Celebration Wednesday, Parade Wednesday, whatever it is you want to call. What's going on out there with 1.3 million people being fanatics in Cleveland, Ohio. Let's say congratulations first as we get ready to wrap this bad boy up to Edward Sherrick of Perrysburg. Edward got the Cavaliers memento, the piece of memorabilia, the framed montage or collage, if you will, of photographs, tickets, the playoff route, the entire thing from Bob Ibach and Nyko Sports. Make sure you check them out at nykosports.com. Less than 1,800 remaining of the only 5,000 limited edition prints that will be made available. So you can get those at nykosports.com, N-I-K-C-O. sports.com, or by calling 1-800-345-2868. They're $99, but Edward of Perrysburg just got one for free. Really interesting tweet here, Jim Cushlin. Ben Axelrod,
okay,
who is a writer for Bleacher Report, does a great job. I follow Ben, and I don't know if you do or not, but Ben's tweet from 10 minutes ago said this: LeBron came home, won a title, had a parade, dropped a bunch of F-bombs on live TV, and trashed the Knicks. Fairy tale story indeed. Holy cow. You know, doing a live show, Jim, I can't hear what's going on at that parade on the monitor. Were you able to hear any of that? What did LeBron say? Anything? Did you,
I was in the same position. You know, usually I keep something on here in the production part of the studio. I keep something on with the TV machine here in the background, but for understandable reasons, I usually keep the sound off and my head's swiveling around all sorts of different directions. So I did not catch all that, but that'll be obviously my goal for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We got to hear the LeBron speech. We'll play it for you tomorrow. Bleeps included, of course, but I need to know what F-bombs he was dropping. And I want to know how much those guys were sipping out of the cups and everything else they had on that parade route that took some 5 hours for them to get through. It was supposed to step off at 11. They didn't get to the platform, the staging area, Jim, you said, until what, about an hour ago? About 4 o'clock?
Yeah, so the entire 4 o'clock hour, and they just finished up. LeBron, for obvious reasons, was the last to speak, and then Jim Brown was there, and they gave him the trophy again.
I am going to assume that that there was more than just a little bit of liquid refreshment flowing, not just among the 1.3 million revelers there at the parade, but those who are in the parade as well.
By the way, speaking of that whole crowd, we were kind of talking about this with Chris Lemieux earlier in the hour as we finally got good reception with him. And you can catch me, of course, on Twitter, at James Cushlin. And my last retweet is something just brilliant. We're talking about crowd sizes. It compares one of the
I'm glad you think highly of your own tweets. You just described your own tweet as brilliant.
No. I actually retweeted this one.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a brilliant picture. Chris was kind of alluding to it. It shows today's downtown Cleveland, and next to it is a picture of, there's a truck with a bunch of guys and a whole bunch of nothing around. And that's one of the parade route from the rally and one of the Miami with LeBron winning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's my last retweet, at James Cushlin, and it really gives you the starkness of how many people really showed up in Cleveland today.
I've got to look at that one myself, Cush. That's very interesting. So, obviously they don't care as much. That's one of the things I think LeBron even said or acknowledged, that it's different, here in his home in Northeast Ohio than it was down there in terms of the fans caring. We know they showed up in the second quarter and left by the end of the third in most of the Heat games. So really an interesting. Oh, I see it now. I see the tweet you mentioned. I'm going to retweet it myself as well. That's pretty amazing. By the way, one more, just since we're on the Twitter side of things on all of this. David Griffin, the GM that we were talking about before, is going to have his hands full trying to figure out how to keep this team competitive to potentially win another championship next year. David Griffin said, it's time to replace the fumble, the drive, and the shot. Way to go. Hold on a second. I lost it. It refreshed on me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it up now. But it was something to the effect of trying to replace the drive, the fumble, and the shot with the block. Oh, there it was. The block, the three, and the D. And that is
nice.
Very, very well done. The block of Iggy, the three by Kyrie, and the D by Kevin Love on Kyrie or Steph Curry after that three as he tried to even things back up. Unbelievable. Well done, GM David Griffin. Thanks, Jim Cushlin. Thanks to Chris Lemieux. Thanks to much of Bob Ibach. Again, that's hard to say fast. And thanks to you for listening, being a part of the show. Stay where you are, because we got Drive Time coming your way with Mike Miller next, right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Have a great one.